A fortnight ago, I took my family to the National Maritime Museum in Greenwich. I don't know if you've been. It was a fun day out, and best of all, it's free. Free entry. I warmly recommend it as a good summer holiday destination for any families looking for somewhere to go. And one of the exhibits we saw at the Maritime Museum was an old film playing up on a wall. A film of a large sailing ship about 100 years ago now. The ship was clearly in the middle of a storm, and you could see waves crashing across the deck. The ship was pitching from side to side, and I have to say I felt rather seasick just standing watching it. You could see dozens of wet and rather windswept sailors scurrying about on deck, desperately trying to tie ropes, climb the rigging, unfurl sails, plus of course a helmsman valiantly trying to keep the ship on course. You had to admire their courage, strength and determination. Well, in our Bible reading just now, Luke, the author of Acts, has also provided us with a very vivid eyewitness description of another sea voyage in a storm. Another voyage that must have taken great courage and strength to endure. The year was about 59 AD, and after 2 years languishing in a Roman prison, the Apostle Paul was now being taken to Rome itself, where he would stand trial before Caesar. Paul, at long last, would get the chance to explain and defend his Christian faith, his gospel, before the very highest court in the Roman Empire. But of course, to get there from Jerusalem to Rome, Paul would need to cross the eastern Mediterranean. He would need to cross from Israel to Italy, a 1,000-mile journey, mostly by sea. You can see the route he took on our screen. Now, after all he'd been through in Jerusalem, Paul must have hoped for an easy ride to Rome, a smooth journey to see Caesar. But it wasn't to be, was it? Because he sailed straight into a violent storm. Before he could reach Rome, in other words, Paul had one more crisis to overcome. As we look at this crisis that Paul faced this morning and see how he survived it, I hope we can learn lessons for coping with the crises we face in our own lives. Perhaps personal crises like ill health or financial hardship or bereavement or redundancy. Or perhaps more profound existential crises that we all face. Crises like guilt, sin and mortality. But before we dive in, as it were, let me just pray. Father, your word guided and strengthened Paul on his sea journey. May it guide and strengthen us as we read from it today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder, are you someone who keeps calm in a crisis? Or are you rather someone who tends to lose your head? Do you face crises in life with courage and composure, or with blind panic instead? Like many of us, I expect my natural tendency, leans towards the latter. When storms break in my life, I have to admit my natural instinct is towards anxiety, worry, and a loss of appetite. But it doesn't have to be that way. You see, with God's help, we can train ourselves to cope in a crisis. With God's help, we can have courage and confidence in the midst of life's crises. The sort of qualities, in fact, that we see Paul having when he was caught in his terrible storm, mid-Med. You see, like many crises, Paul's crisis on the Med was one that should never really have arisen. It was autumn, probably October AD 59, as I've mentioned, and the safe sailing season was at its end. As we read in verse 10 of Acts 27, Paul actually warned the ship's crew in Crete that it wasn't safe to carry on sailing. It was too late in the year to proceed towards Rome. They should winter on Crete before heading off in the spring. Men, he warned them, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to ship and cargo. Don't do it, were Paul's wise words. But of course, Paul was merely a prisoner on board ship, and his wise advice was ignored and dismissed. Neither the Roman centurion who was guarding him, nor the ship's pilot, nor the ship's owner recognised Paul's authority as an apostle of Christ. They preferred to follow their own judgment rather than listen to Paul's God-given wisdom. I have to say, in all honesty, I think we are seeing the same mistake being followed and committed in the Church of England today. As our own denomination wrestles with various ethical issues, especially those relating to sexuality and gender, sadly too many of our church's leaders prefer to be led by the wisdom of the world and by their own judgment rather than by Paul's inspired words in our New Testament. You see, as an apostle, Paul spoke as he wrote with the full authority of the Lord Jesus. The Apostle Paul should have been listened to then and should be listened to now. But sadly, Paul's words were ignored, weren't they? And so the ship ploughed on straight into that violent storm. Verse 20 tells us, doesn't it, that neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging. Things were so bad, we're told, that all those on board gave up all hope of being saved. All except Paul, that is. Because we're told, aren't we, that Paul stood up mid-deck and told the ship's company to keep courage. Not one of us will be lost, he said. Only the ship will be destroyed. Now, that wasn't simply wishful thinking by Paul. He wasn't in some state of denial about the perilous situation they were in. And nor did Paul's confidence and composure come from within himself. He wasn't drawing on some special inner reserves of courage. No, Paul hadn't mastered some self-help technique or some yoga exercise. Paul's courage came from above. Paul's courage came straight from the Lord. Paul's confidence, you see, on that boat rested on God's word, on a divine promise he personally had received. Paul explains all for us in verses 23 and 24. Look and listen again to what he said. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me and said, "Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar, and God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you." What an astonishing promise for God to make to Paul. In fact, when you think about it, it's the type of promise that only God could possibly make. Only a sovereign God who is stronger than nature can promise to save people from a storm. Only a God who created and commands the wind and the waves can guarantee a specific ship safety. As Psalm 89 says, "Lord, you rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them." I don't know about you, but when I hear those words, I'm reminded of the events of the Exodus, when God parted the Red Sea, didn't he, to rescue his people from slavery in Egypt. It also makes me think of Jesus when, with a simple word, he commanded the wind and the waves on the Sea of Galilee. You see, when God makes promises, he has the power to keep them. Even when he promises to still the wind and the waves, he can keep them. We can trust his promises utterly and completely. Now, of course, none of us are stuck literally in the middle of a storm. So what are the promises of God that we Christians can hold on today in the midst of our own personal crises? Well, here are just three as by way of example. Firstly, God always promises us his presence. In Matthew chapter 28, for example, Jesus promises his disciples that he is with us always, a promise he keeps by sending his Spirit within our hearts. God also promises his people his peace, In the New Testament, we are promised peace with God as well as peace within. There is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, promises Romans chapter 8. If we have faith in Jesus, our guilt is gone, our sins are forgiven, and we have peace with God. And what's more, his Spirit produces peace in our hearts as well. Peace that passes all understanding, promises Philippians chapter 4. And thirdly, God's word promises us paradise too. You see, whatever trials and tribulations we may go through in this world, Revelation 21 tells us that they are temporary. They are time limited. In contrast, in the world to come, there will be no more sin or sadness, no more suffering or death. In that paradise to come, every Christian will be with Christ forever. Presence, peace, paradise. Just three of the powerful promises that God's word makes today to every Christian believer here today. So do get to know your Bible better. Then you'll be armed with a whole pile of promises to trust and cling to when crisis breaks. Why not even try and memorise some promises in Scripture so you can call them to mind in the midst of a crisis? And learn them so that not only can you encourage yourself, you can encourage your Christian brothers and sisters when they too go through tough times. Paul didn't keep God's promises to himself on board that ship, and neither should we today. Almost to the day, Helen and I spent our honeymoon on the island of Malta. It's obviously become a place of fond memories for us both, an island with positive associations. And I think it's fair to say that Paul, when he looked back over his life, must have had very similar feelings of affection towards Malta too. It was, after all, the place, we're told, where he and his companions found both safety and a warm welcome. In fact, there's actually a statue of Paul on the north coast of the island to this very day, a physical memorial to the fact that God kept his promise to save Paul's ship from the ship's company from the storm. After all, verses 27 to 44 today tell us that after a fortnight at sea, Paul's ship ran aground on the coast of Malta. By hook or by crook, all of the ship's company, all 276 of them, safely reached the shore. And when they got there, we're told, they were shown an unusual kindness by the islanders. An unusual kindness. What a wonderful description of anyone that is. As Christians, wouldn't it be great to be known for our unusual kindness? In a harsh world, wouldn't it be wonderful if we were known for our faith, hope, and love? For our unusual kindness and grace in an increasingly selfish and secular society. Returning to Paul's bonfire on the beach, it seems that even a snake bite could not spoil the occasion. Paul was miraculously spared, we're told, from the effects of a viper's venom, and he was greatly honoured by the islanders. Some even thought he was a god. It's ironic, I think, isn't it, that having been ignored by the centurion and the ship's captain at the beginning of our reading, by the end of it today, Paul is receiving huge respect and recognition. Our final verse this morning told us, didn't it, that the kindness of the Maltese even extended to giving Paul and his travelling companions the supplies they needed to complete their journey to Rome. A new ship seems to have been found for them, and they were ready to set sail again. Paul was once again back on track. A crisis had been overcome, and Paul's confidence in the Lord had been entirely vindicated. God's word was true. His promise to protect Paul and his travelling companions had been kept in its entirety. I wonder, are you familiar with the name John Newton? John Newton. John was an 18th century seafarer and slave trader who wonderfully was converted and came to Christian faith. He later became a Church of England clergyman and a famous hymn writer. And one of the lines in Newton's most famous hymn, Amazing Grace, goes as follows. Through many dangers, trials and snares, I have already come. Grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace shall lead me home. And I think Paul would certainly echo that sentiment. It was something borne out by his experience on board ship, and it was something that he was able to share with his travelling companions, and indeed all of us who read his letters in the New Testament today. You see, God's gracious promises and God's power had indeed carried him through a storm to a place of safety and grace. Please do notice, however, that God had graciously carried Paul through the storm, not out of it. God had given Paul the courage and confidence to keep calm in the midst of his crisis. God didn't immediately teleport him out of it as soon as the storm started. And the same is true today. Christians are not promised an easy life in this world. We should expect times of hardship, times of testing, times of crisis. But in his word and by his spirit, God has given us the resources to cope when times are tough. God's promises in the Bible are like a life ring. They're able to keep us afloat in the storms of life. And God's spirit is like those encouragements that Paul received from that angel on board ship. God's spirit is there to give us the courage and composure we need to persevere when waves break all around. You see, as Christians, we've been blessed with God-given resources to get through life's crises and storms. We've been given the grace to carry on. Grace to carry on until that wonderful day when we will safely land on another shore. A distant shore that we cannot yet see, but have been promised that lies ahead, just over the horizon. A shore where sin and suffering will be no more. A shore of paradise, no less. Let's pray. Father, thank you that your gracious promises are powerful and true and trustworthy. Help us to trust them through every crisis until your kingdom comes. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.